Man, I swear I can't believe what I just saw. Couple shadows kissing on her bedroom walls. Looking like my plan didn't work out at all. That break turned into broke up. So now I'm finding out how a heartbreak tastes with a silver oak 1998. Drinking cab in a solo, solo in the cab of my truck. Yeah, I'm drinking cab in a solo, solo in the cab of my truck.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me. For many in India, life can be challenging. The typical person living in rural India doesn't have a lot. But that's not what makes life a challenge for some people. For some, the big challenge is blindness. But what's interesting about the situation for a lot of people is that the blindness they endure is reversible. They don't have to be blind. What they need is help. Surgery, to be specific. But how is someone who is poor and lives in the country ever going to be able to get surgery? In India, among the people who have money, it works like this. A person visits a GP. A medical issue might be identified. That person will then be referred to a specialist, and surgery will be scheduled. Surgery will happen, then there's a period of recovery, and then life goes on. But that's for people who have money, for people who live in a city. In a country of more than 1.4 billion, there are a lot of people who don't fit into that category. If you don't have money, if you're poor, what do you do?
Most of the patients that we come across are really very, very poor. They come from a very rural background where really there is no healthcare facilities. And most of these patients, when they become blind due to cataract and other ailments, they think this is part of life. So even if they are interested in going for a surgery, they don't have the means, there's no one to take care of them. There's no means to reach out to the healthcare facilities. And they, even if they can reach, there's no way they can afford a cataract surgery. And so most of the factors are all against them. So basically they live with the kind of blindness they suffer from.
For many years, ophthalmologist Dr. Jacob Prabhakar has been serving India's blind population by providing free, life-changing cataract surgery, as well as other eye care procedures. Eyes for India is sponsored by It Is Written Missions, providing poor people with the opportunity to literally receive their sight. Patients don't pay for anything. Transportation, food, accommodation, medicine, surgery, and post-operative care are all provided free of charge. Home base for the Eyes for India team is a hospital in the city of Jalandhar in Punjab state. Ruby Nelson Memorial Hospital was named after a missionary who lost her life in tragic circumstances. Yet her influence lives on as a dedicated team of medical professionals minister in this city of more than 1.1 million people and in rural areas outside the city and further beyond. Every year, Dr. Jacob and his team travel away from their home base to other locations, including an annual visit to Barabanki, a village in Uttar Pradesh, There, a large team, including visiting professionals from other parts of India, gather to treat large numbers of people who, in most cases, have traveled great distances to receive this life-altering medical care.
It's been nearly 20 years we have started coming to this place, and when we actually came 20 years ago, there was actually nothing here. We had seen hundreds and thousands of patients on day one flocking, waiting for their turn to be operated. But we could go and operate only a certain numbers at a time. Those years, 20 years ago, situation was very, very difficult. These are the poorest of the poorest people which I have seen in all my life. They would come and wait for their turn when they will get their surgery done. Some of them have bilaterally blind. They're desperately watching and waiting when they would get the turn. The situation then was quite a different scenario as it is now. Over the years, we have improvised the situation. We improved the quality of facilities. We improved the quality of services. When you open the bandages, they're so excited and they praise God and shouting, "We can see now."
And what motivates this extraordinary physician to do what he does? I'm going to tell you in just a moment. It Is Written is committed to giving people the opportunity to experience the love of Jesus. Eyes for India brings hope and vision to thousands of people in need. And there's much more. Through High Impact International Medical Ministry and other humanitarian projects, hearts are being reached around the globe. You can partner with It Is Written in changing lives for eternity. Your support now will bring healing and blessing to people in desperate need, enabling them to experience the power of God for the very first time. Call now, 800-253-3000. That's 800-253-3000. Visit us online at iiwworld.com or text WORLD to 71392. Designating your gift to Missions will directly support these life-changing projects. Thank you for partnering with It Is Written in opening eyes to the goodness of God and offering hope to the world. Welcome to Line Upon Line, brought to you by It Is Written. Was it God's plan for sin to enter the world?
Is the building of a temple necessary before Jesus returns?
That's a good question. And I think we've got a pretty good answer for you here.
Temptation is not sin.
God says, "Put me to the test." Welcome back to It Is Written. The book of Acts speaks of Jesus who went about doing good and healing, which is precisely what this team is doing. They're going about doing good and they're healing many.
The numbers keep on increasing. There has been, 10 years ago when we talked about 15 million people as one-third of the world's blind population, they say the numbers have reduced, but as we in the field, it appears that it has not changed. It's not changed.
It isn't hard to imagine the devastating impact blindness has on people in rural India. People who lose their sight can't work, and if they can't work, they can't support their family, and life is difficult. One man I met had been a truck driver. His failing eyesight meant he began having accidents and he lost his job. Thanks to Eyes for India, he regained his sight and was able to go back to work. Mothers who lose their sight struggle to care for their children, and the basic functions of life become much more difficult when it's impossible to see. What is the life like for the people who come here?
They're coming, some people both eye blind, some people both eye cataract. They're not able to see properly. So without a vision, their life is very difficult.
What causes the cataracts to develop?
Yeah, there so many causes is there, say cataract, diabetic patient, diabetic, traumatic cataract also, sometimes any accident after they cause cataract, electric shock also they are cause, by birth also sometimes has, some children has cataract.
Really, they're born with cataracts?
Yeah.
Oh. What's the youngest patients that you see here?
12 years, 13 years, yeah.
The surgery provided by It Is Written's Eyes for India is transformational as people regain a measure of independence and often dignity, taking up their place in the workforce again and in the wider community.
Now, it's not just you, you have a team around you. It takes a large team.
We have a beautiful team. They're, I should say they're best. They are the best team I can ever get. And they stand long hours of doing the surgeries. And they go into the rural areas, talk to the patients, spend time with them, convincing them, motivating them to come for surgery. Sometimes it's very difficult to convince the patients to travel all the way from their villages. Some of those patients have never traveled out of their home or the villages they come from. So it requires a great team to motivate them. You know, this is an opportunity to serve the people, and they feel very excited to be part of this team where we're able to open the eyes of these blind people. And there's so much of joy when they see these patients receive this sight, and they can go back home and they can carry on with their duties and little chores, and some of them go back to their workplaces, earn for their families. It's very, very exciting. So it's kind of motivation to help these poor people.
Do you enjoy your work?
Yeah, I'm very happy with the work with Dr. Jacob, because Dr. Jacob is very humble person. He's helped with very needy patient. Yeah, I'm very happy. I'm just thank God. God has given me opportunity with work with Dr. Jacob.
You know, Dr. Jacob wants to help people. He's very fast.
Yeah.
He helps so many people. Why do you want to work in here helping people?
Because every patient's eye is very important.
Those who receive cataract surgery and have their blindness reversed are, as you can imagine, extremely grateful to receive the gift of sight.
He wants to sing with joy.
Asim putra ha Guru Gobind Singh de Desh bhakti ji chadi hai paan sanu Asim kise da aasra takde nahi Rehnda apniyan baahan te maan sanu Asim mudd ton rana nu jit de rahe.
Pyar bahut vadiya ji, pyar ehde pyar se rukda jehde nikah banji ruk jaida ji. Vekho ji, ਇੱਕ ਜੀਵਨ ਬਖਸ਼ਣਾ, ਇੱਕ ਅਗਲੇ ਨੂੰ ਜੀਵਨ ਬਖਸ਼ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਨਾ, ਬਹੁਤ ਵੱਡਾ ਉਹਦਾ ਦੇਣ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੇ ਸਕਦੇ, ਉਸਦਾ ਦੇਣ ਨਹੀਂ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਜਾ ਸਕਦਾ. ਜਿਹਨੇ ਇੱਕ ਜੀਵਨ ਹੀ ਬਖਸ਼ ਦੇਣਾ, ਇੱਕ ਨਿਗਾਹ ਬਖਸ਼ਣੀ, ਨਿਗਾਹ ਸਭ ਨੂੰ ਵੱਡੀ ਆ. ਜੇ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਗਈਆਂ ਜਹਾਨ ਗਿਆ, ਜਿਹਦੇ ਨਿਗਾਹ ਗਈ ਉਹਨੇ ਪੁੱਛਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੋਈ ਨਿਗਾਹ ਤੋਂ ਬਾਅਦ, ਪੁੱਛਦਾ ਨਾ ਕੋਈ.
ਹੁਣ ਤੂੰ ਉਸ ਦੇ ਲਈ ਫਨੈਣ ਬਣਦਾ. ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਕਾ ਖਾਲਸਾ, ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ.
ਮੈਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਬਹੁਤ ਬਹੁਤ ਧੰਨਵਾਦ ਕਰਦਾ ਜੀ. ਬਹੁਤ ਬਹੁਤ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਬਹੁਤ ਕੋਟੀ ਕੋਟੀ ਪ੍ਰਣਾਮ ਕਰਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਮੇਰੀ ਮਦਦ ਕੀਤੀ. ਮੈਂ ਉਸ ਪਰਮੇਸ਼ਰ ਨੂੰ, ਉਸ ਮਸੀਹ ਨੂੰ ਮੰਨਦਾ ਹਾਂ. ਮੈਂ ਉਹਦਾ ਬਹੁਤ ਗੌਡ ਦਾ ਧੰਨਵਾਦ ਕਰਦਾ.
ਦੀਸ ਕ੍ਰਿਸਚੀਅਨ ਬਿਲੀਵਰਸ ਇਨ ਅ ਕੰਟਰੀ ਵਿਦ ਅ ਪਾਪੂਲੇਸ਼ਨ ਆਲਮੋਸਟ ਟਵਾਈਸ ਦੈਟ ਆਫ ਯੂਰਪ, ਮੋਰ ਦੈਨ ਫੋਰ ਟਾਈਮਸ ਦ ਪਾਪੂਲੇਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਦ ਯੂਨਾਈਟਿਡ ਸਟੇਟਸ, ਆਰ ਸਰਵਿੰਗ ਦੇਅਰ ਫੈਲੋ ਹਿਊਮਨਸ, ਰਿਵੀਲਿੰਗ ਦ ਲਵ ਐਂਡ ਕਾਈਂਡਨੈਸ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ.
Yeah, we are living in a country where we have 1.4 billion people, and only 2% of them are Christians. And most of the ministry, Eyes for India, is into Hindu temples and Sikh temples and some Muslim communities. And so when we reach out to them, these people actually have not seen the kind of work that we do. They see actually a difference, a different kind of approach. They see that we are reaching out to them, we are reaching to their communities and helping them, bring them to the hospital, giving them food and giving them medications and operating them and dropping them back in their homes. They see a totally a different kind of approach, and they are very happy to work with the community like ours. Even though they are Hindus and Sikhs and we are Christians, they see a difference in the kind of work we deliver to them. the service we offer, the long hours of work that we do, the dedication our team has, it's definitely unique, and that's what makes, there are many other hundreds and thousands of hospitals and also others who are doing the same kind of work that we do, but we are invited from all over the country to be able to part of this ministry, to help these people. And most of the invitation that we receive are from Sikh temples and Hindu temples. Definitely, we are a unique team, and they see a difference in the kind of work that we provide, the service that we offer.
My own association with Dr. Jacob now goes back some years, and I still remember hearing his remarkable story for the first time.
If it was not for the grace of God, I wouldn't be what I am. It's been an opportunity for me to go to church, which my parents attended, and the church pastor identified in me some potential. I was born in a remote village on the east coast of South India, which is about 3 or 4 kilometers from the coast of Bay of Bengal. It's really a country life where you have beautiful rivers passing by, the backwaters, the green fields with rugged roads right in front of my home. We did not have electricity. The well was situated about 4 or 5 homes away from our house. These homes are made of mud walls, mud floors, and thatched roofs. Utter poverty. As a child, there is nothing much to look forward to.
But despite the extreme poverty Jacob and his family faced, they were still able to find simple joys in life.
Raised in a family of 8 siblings, I had 5 elder sisters who actually took care of me and raised me. It was a very, very joyful thing to have a large family. I had all the affection that a boy could receive. My mother delivered all her children in my home, given birth to 8 children in a village home with no physician, with no nurses around. It's a miracle.
The Eyes for India team is doing the work of Jesus by healing the blind. Without pressuring people about religion, they're able to demonstrate the love of God by meeting needs and selflessly improving lives, just as Jesus did. People who otherwise might never encounter a Christian see God at work through Eyes for India. Their eyes are opened to the grace of a God who cared for them enough to provide them with a new chance at life. You've been serving poor people for a very long time. You could go do something else. What keeps you doing what you do?
I'm excited to be part of this ministry because I myself was like one of these very poor people, come from a very rural background. We had nothing to look forward to. And I believe God has appointed me to be able to be a blessing to the communities who are the poorest of the poor people in India. And I feel it's an opportunity to be able to stay back and give back to these people who otherwise may not receive any help.
There are people who are blind and want to see and could see if only they could get access to the help they need. You can be part of the solution. I'm going to tell you how in just a moment. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. In spite of possessing only a third grade education, he wrote the best-selling work of Christian fiction in the history of the world. Join me in Bedford, England, for Men of Faith, John Bunyan, as we meet the man whose landmark book has sold 250 million copies. We'll visit the place of his birth, the site of the infamous prison which for many years was his home, as well as his final resting place. The Puritan preacher who defied monarchs and magistrates impacted ministers of religion, politicians, and everyday people inspired by his writings. We'll go to the museum dedicated to his life and ministry as we discover what it takes to stand for your faith in God. Men of Faith, John Bunyan, brought to you by It Is Written TV. It Is Written is committed to giving people the opportunity to experience the love of Jesus. Eyes for India brings hope and vision to thousands of people in need, and there's much more. Through high-impact international medical ministry and other humanitarian projects, hearts are being reached around the globe. You can partner with It Is Written in changing lives for eternity. Your support now will bring healing and blessing to people in desperate need, enabling them to experience the power of God for the very first time. Call now, 800-253-3000. That's 800-253-3000. Visit us online at iiwworld.com or text WORLD to 71392. Designating your gift to Missions will directly support these life-changing projects. Thank you for partnering with It Is Written in opening eyes to the goodness of God and offering hope to the world. You have to be moved by a group of people dedicating themselves to the well-being of others. Reminds me of the well-known Bible story in Luke chapter 10, the build-up to which is not only fascinating, but paves the way for what would follow. A doctor of the law approached Jesus and asked him what really was a gotcha question. He said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Whatever Jesus said, this man would quibble with Jesus' words. And so Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" He replied by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus' hope was that this man would recognize his complete inability to do that, and therefore understand his need of a Savior and of the grace of God. Notice where that man was. Many people are in exactly the same situation today. What shall I do? No, salvation isn't earned, but it is received. Jesus said, "You have answered rightly. This do, and you shall live." Now, the first four commandments, no other gods, no graven images, don't blaspheme, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, they deal with one's relationship with God. The next, or the last, six commandments, honor your father and your mother, don't kill, no adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet, they deal with your relationship with your fellow human being. Now, rather than thanking Jesus for that lesson, or more to the point, wanting to escape the reality that he was doing neither, the man asked Jesus another question. He said, "Who is my neighbor?" And that's when Jesus told one of the most famous stories in the history of stories. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. The point is, of course, that someone was in need, and when the religious people happened by, none of them wanted to get involved. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. The Samaritans and the Jews were, at that time, bitter enemies. In the previous chapter, Luke chapter 9, when the disciples and Jesus were not welcomed into a Samaritan village, the disciples asked Jesus if they could call fire down from heaven and incinerate the village and the Samaritans who lived there. When Jesus met the woman at the well, she said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" And John added, "For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." That's John 4 and verse 9. Some religious leaders, angry with Jesus, insulted him by saying, "Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" What makes the story of the 10 lepers so remarkable is that the one healed man who thanked Jesus was a Samaritan. So here's a Samaritan who went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he sent him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He then tells the innkeeper that he's willing to cover any further costs. Jesus says to the doctor of the law, "So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." It Is Written has been providing eye care for the poor and needy in India for more than a dozen years. Why do we do it? Because they're your neighbors. They're my neighbors. It takes just $75 to give the gift of sight. That will cover the cost of surgery and equipment and transportation and accommodation and food and much more. Just $75 can see a person go from blindness to sight, from dependence to independence. People will reclaim their dignity and become once again productive members of society. And as I've spoken to so many people about why they want to see again, they say, "That's why I want to see again. I want to be able to work. I want to be able to provide for my family, see my children and my grandchildren." Just $75. A man the Bible refers to as blind Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus one day. Jesus said, "What would you like me to do for you?" And he responded by saying, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." You hear that petition being echoed around India, people saying, "I want to receive my sight." You can make that happen. Would you do so? To give the gift of sight, please call 800-253-3000. That's 800-253-3000. Just $75 gives the gift of sight. Two eyes, that's $150. $225, that's three eyes, and so on. You see how that works. Thank you for doing what you can to open somebody's eyes and give them physical eyesight and allow them to see and experience the healing touch of Jesus. That's 800-253-3000. 800-253-3000. Thank you for giving the gift of sight. Let me pray with you. Our Father in heaven, we thank you today for Jesus, the great healer, the giver of all good gifts. And we thank you that as he healed in Bible times, he still heals today, opening eyes not only to the world around a person, but also to the love of God. I pray you will bless those who give, those who will be used by heaven to give the gift of sight. We pray your blessing on the gift and on the giver. And we thank you that you are transforming lives in such a powerful way. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God."
You've been listening to It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw. We hope you have been blessed and that your faith in God has been renewed. Join us again next week at the same time on this station for It Is Written with John Bradshaw. This program was produced by It Is Written, all rights reserved. It Is Written is a faith-based ministry. Thank you for your letters and continued support. For more information, please visit our website, itiswritten.com.
Hello, It Is Written supporters and listeners. Pastor Ivan Remokal here of the Durand Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you for supporting our sponsored program, It Is Written by John Bradshaw, here at WRDN every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions or wanting to have Bible studies, you can contact me with my number 715-279-4255. 715-279-4213. Again, 715-279-4213. Also, you can come to our church at W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. Again, our address is W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. May God bless you all.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies on tap for the second half of your weekend. Southwest winds today at highs will reach the upper 70s. In the overnight, clear skies. Lows will drop to the lower to middle 50s. On Monday, sunny skies. Highs in the lower 80s. For national weather stories, severe weather videos, and live storm chasing, visit severestudios.com. Right now, it's 54.
Real Country 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Downsville, Pepin, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
It's Sunday morning on Real Country 1430 WRDN. We take you now to 1032 Prisel Street in Durand, Wisconsin for the Faith Lutheran Church morning services.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. It is so good to see a fuller sanctuary. Welcome back to families that were busy this summer traveling. Welcome to the Butler family who's here this morning for Maverick's baptism. It's a good day to be the church together. And thank you for taking time to fill out name tags. Hopefully, if you were standing in line waiting, you took the opportunity to talk to the person next to you, because today we start thematic preaching around the theme of neighbor. And so for the next month, we'll be kind of unpacking that theme, thinking about what it means to be a good neighbor to one another. And so part of that is to feel seen and known. And so that's why we're going to have name tags throughout the month of September. So thanks for doing that. Our radio sponsor today are Jeff and Elisa Abramson, sponsoring in memory of Bill Brenner. So we give thanks for their sponsorship. As you already know, it's Name Tag Sunday. So again, thanks for filling one out. Even if you feel like you're known by everyone, it's good to have a little reminder of everyone's names, especially as a lot of people have been busy this summer coming back together. It's just a good way to relate to one another. A reminder, too, that we are working on a living pictorial directory. So if you are an active member here at Faith, we would love to have a photo of you or your family that we can put on the board. And if you send it to Debbie Hurlburt, she can get your name put on it, and we're kind of working on that. If it's easier for you to just have a photo taken while you're here, find Debbie after worship, and she'll snap a photo. But we're trying to keep that board growing, so we hope that you'll include your photo as well. As I said this morning, we get to celebrate baptism with Maverick Lee. And so part of the practice that we have here at Faith Lutheran is gifting the baptized with a frame that everyone has signed, so that as he grows in faith and in years, he'll be able to look back and know who was here to witness his baptism. And so we'll start signing this around, and we just ask you to try to sign around on the white area, and then the family can place a photo in the middle. So put your name somewhere on the white area, and we'll just pass that around throughout the worship service. So welcome. Hey. And it's fine. Just take your time to get settled. It's good to see you all. Today and the next few weeks, we're celebrating God's work, our hands. And so we are collecting diapers and wipes and cash donations and baby food for the new baby and toddler closet, which is housed in the basement here at Faith Lutheran Church. So it's okay if you didn't bring a donation today. We got them under the altar, and we'll be collecting them through the 22nd. So if you're able to give a donation, it will go to a good cause. Oh, yes, and for the month of September, our noisy offering that we collect during our offering will also go to the baby toddler closet, so thank you. This Wednesday, September 11th, we kick off our year of Faith Lift Learning Nights. This is our confirmation program for anyone in 6th through 8th grade. And so this week, we start at 5:30, and it's for families and the students. So bring a dish to pass for the potluck. Bring your calendar. There'll be a bunch of signups. You'll get the whole schedule for the year. And then Learning Nights will continue after that on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. right after school, from 4 to 5:30. But this week, it's at 5:30, starting with a potluck meal. That's for Faith and Rock Creek students here at Faith, 5:30. So I'm excited to see you then. And then our senior high youth group will be kicking off the following Wednesday on September 18th. We're going to experience something called Faith 5 at Club 10. So we're going to gather at Club 10 just outside of town for 1 hour of trivia, which they lead there. They do it with Kahoot. And then we'll have an hour of faith formation from 8 to 9 using a resource called Faith 5. So invite a friend. It's a great opportunity for them to get involved. Hope for You, several years ago, had their suicide and mental health walk here at Faith. And it was a fantastic experience. They continue to host it and kind of move around. So this is an invitation to be part of it on September 14th at Caddy. So they'll be over at the elementary school for the walk. Lots of activities. They have speakers and a really great organization to support. So if you're available on September 14th, you can go on over to Caddy between 10 and 2 p.m. We're still collecting school supplies for Lutheran World Relief. The drawstring backpacks, as well as the shopping lists, are in the narthex and need to be filled and returned by September 22nd. So there's still a couple weeks to do that. A couple announcements here for Rock Creek. Rock Creek invites you to come and enjoy the UFTA dinner, which is coming up on October 26th. Right now is the time to sign up to help if anyone's interested in offering a helping hand. But otherwise, over the next few weeks, we'll have some tickets for sale if you want to come and eat the delicious meatball dinner. Are there any other announcements this morning? Debbie? Oh, we do, yes. Council meeting, thank you, is Wednesday at 7 p.m. right after the Faith Lift meal. Thanks. Any other announcements? Then because we get to start Sunday school today, we've moved the children's message to the very beginning of the service. So I'm going to invite the children to come forward. We're going to meet your Sunday school teachers. We're going to bless them for their year of teaching. And then we're going to send you off to Sunday school so that you can be back to join us for baptism and communion. So you can actually just gather right here. You can have a seat, please. Good morning. It's good to see you all. Come on up. And it's good to have name tags today so your teachers can remember who all of you are. We have some new Sunday school teachers this year who are right behind you. Two of the three are here. We've got Elise and Maria, and then Addie will be joining them some of the other weeks when she can be here. I'm excited because back in May, these girls were sitting in this same pew on their confirmation Sunday. Confirmation is when you get almost done with eighth grade and you've gone through 3 years of classes and you've learned more about your faith and you make promises that you're going to stay involved in the church and keep growing in your faith. And so this year, Elise and Maria are doing just that by being your Sunday school teachers. So they get to teach you all about God's love and how much Jesus loves you as well. So I'm really excited, really thankful for their leadership. And I want to show you something that I have. So I'm just going to show it to you, and then I'm going to show you how it works. But if you just look at it, what does it look like to you?
A mushroom.
A mushroom? Okay, that's fair. What else? What do you think? Does it look like a rock, maybe? A painted rock?
Yeah,
a heart rock. It's like a heart shape, and then it's got hearts on it. I found it at a store in Hudson, and I saw it, and I thought it was a bunch of painted rocks. And I was like, oh, those are pretty. And I picked it up, I put it in my hand, right? And something happened. I'm going to show you what happened. Okay, but before I do that, I'm going to remind you that today is God's Work Our Hand Sunday. It's a day of service, right? We're collecting things for the baby toddler closet. But every time we open up our hands and share God's love with people, we are being God's hands in the world, right? It's God's work that's happening, but our hands do the work. And so we're so grateful for Addie and Maria and Elise that they're going to use their hands and their hearts to share God's love with you. So when I picked this up, look what I discovered. Listen. Do you hear it? Isn't that so cool? I still don't know what's in there and what makes it happen, but it sounds like wind chimes. And it was so, I did not expect it. I thought, oh, that's a cool rock. And I picked it up and I was like, isn't that so pretty? So when we have God's love, and we just keep it tight, nothing's going to happen, right? But if we open up our hands and we share it with the world, really beautiful things come from that. So what we're going to do this morning And I know everyone wants to get their hands on this probably. You can try it out later, okay? Everyone's like, yeah, I want to try it. I'll have it here after worship so you can try it out. Because right now, we're going to invite your Sunday school teachers up and we're going to circle around them and we're going to bless them for their year of teaching using their hands and their hearts to bless us. So come on up. We'll have Maria and Addie, Addie's not here. She's here in spirit. We'll have Elise and Maria come up. And everybody come circle around the baptismal font. But you can place a hand on their shoulder, on their head, okay? And we're going to bless our teachers. All right, come on over. And if you can't all, you can just be near them even if you can't reach them, okay? All right, so it's okay. You don't have to be shy. We're going to pray for them, okay? Are you ready? All right, let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the ways in which we get to be your hands and your feet in the world. We thank you for Addie and Maria and Elise for their commitment to sharing their faith with all of these awesome kids. We thank you for the parents who have entrusted these kids to our care for their Sunday school years. And we pray that you would bless Addie and Maria and Elise with wisdom and patience and kindness as they work with the kids and teach them about your love for them. It's in Jesus' name we begin another year of Sunday school and we give thanks. Amen. All right, you can follow your teachers down to Sunday school, and we'll see you a little bit later for baptism and other great things.
It smells like cinnamon.
It smells like cinnamon? Oh my gosh, I didn't even notice that. I invite the congregation to stand as you're able in body or spirit for our order of confession and forgiveness. Even as we gather together as one in Christ's name, there is division and turmoil in God's world. Let us confess how we have contributed to that discord through our words and actions, through our complacency and inaction. We confess. Holy One, we gather here knowing that we struggle to see our neighbors as your children too. We make excuses. We separate the world's people into good and bad. We blame others for things that cannot control or change. We hope someone else will do the hard work of creating diverse, inclusive community. Forgive us and make us newly open to your command to love you and others. Teach us to love our neighbors as ourselves and look for your image in them. Amen. Our God of mercy and grace teaches us to love through loving us even as we're still learning. Your sins are forgiven in the name of God, our Creator, Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our guide and advocate. Welcome to worship this day. We come eager to find wisdom we need for our lives. Welcome whoever you are and however you show up in this space. Here we remember that we are all children of God. We come open to seeing one another in new ways because of the gospel. Welcome to this hour where we are grace found, not rule bound. We come to learn again how to love our neighbors as ourselves and share the bread of life with all. Welcome to worship this day. It is good to be the church together in this place. Our opening hymn today is to the tune of Earth and All Stars, but the words are centered around the theme of God's work, our hands. So let's sing our opening hymn together. The words are on the screen. Places unknown, walking out.
us, God, our feet as we follow your way, sharing the good news of your gospel. God's work, our voice, singing together, praising, proclaiming to all who will hear, praying for peace, shouting for justice, claiming God's love for the lost and the least. Our voice as we speak in your name, sharing the good news of your gospel. God is at work in and around us. Seedlings are sprouting and bread's on the rise. Washed and set free, humbled and honored, gifted by grace, we respond in God's love. Bless God our lives as we answer your call, sharing the good news of your gospel.
The grace of our love, Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of love, teach us to ask good questions that lead us into deep, authentic relationship with our neighbors, near and far. Remind us that they, like us, are made in your image. Help us celebrate our shared humanity and delight in our differences. Let your word speak to our hearts as we seek to love our neighbors as you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and we'll continue with our centering song. I thought since it was the first day of Sunday school, it would be appropriate to hear some kids sing to us this morning. So this is a sweet little elementary school class singing a song called Love Your Neighbor. We'll see if we can top that song as you stand, as you're able, as we welcome the word. Jesus. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. Just then, a religion scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? Jesus answered, "What's written in God's law? How do you interpret it?" And he said, "That you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself." "Good answer," said Jesus. "Do it and you'll live." Looking for a loophole, he asked, "And just how would you define neighbor?" And Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road. But when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. And then a Levite religious man showed up, and he also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan traveling the road came on him, and when he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back." What do you think? Which of the three became neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? "The one who treated him kindly," the religion scholar responded. Jesus said, "Go and do the same." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So I'm not sure exactly where I heard two things that recently came together in my mind, but the two things were this. The first one is, if you get the right answer to the wrong question, then you still have the wrong answer. So if you get the right answer, but it's the wrong question, then you still have the wrong answer. And two, the question isn't what do our church members want, but rather what do our neighbors need? I heard both of these things at some point in my seminary education. I'm sure it was from some very wise teachers, but at this point, I can only credit the Holy Spirit for bringing them back to my mind as I prepared to preach on the theme neighbor for the month of September. We're beginning year 2 of something called Uncommon Preaching, which goes away from the regular lectionary of readings and leads us towards thematic preaching. And so recently I looked at the scripture readings that are suggested for this theme of neighbor. And as I dove into the scripture that will be preached over the next 4 weeks, I realized that each of the passages has a poignant question in it. So I decided that maybe we're being led to ponder these questions together as it relates to being in relationship to our neighbors. And the overarching question for this month will be what I just said. Not what do our church members want, but what do our neighbors need? And so we'll return to that after we take a closer look at this story of the Good Samaritan, our scripture reading for today, and the questions that it begs us to consider. And so I chose what's probably a pretty familiar story to a lot of people, but we heard it today from something called the Message Bible. It's a different translation, a little more modern language, because I wanted to see how the questions were phrased in that translation. Normally, we hear the religion scholar ask Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" But in this Message translation, the question becomes, "And how would you define neighbor?" The religion scholar wants to know what boundaries he can put around Jesus' commandment to love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Because if he can exclude some people from that definition of neighbor, then maybe he doesn't have to make an effort to love them. The scripture says that in asking the question, "How would you define neighbor?" the religious scholar is looking for a loophole in Jesus' command. It said, looking for a loophole, the religion scholar asked, "How would you define neighbor?" Right? Who does that include? He wanted to find a way around this inclusive definition of neighbor that Jesus was peddling. But then Jesus goes on to describe not so much what the neighbor looks like as he does how to be a neighbor to those in need. Often our interpretation of this story of the Good Samaritan focuses a lot of attention on the injured person, his ethnic background, the fact that it wasn't very likely that a Samaritan would stop to offer this kind of person help. But changing the question from "who is my neighbor" to "how would you define neighbor" helps us refocus on the action of the Samaritan, right? If we're the Samaritan in the story, how are we to behave in response to someone's need? And both of the interpretations end with a call to emulate the actions of the Samaritan, with Jesus saying, go and do the same, or you usually hear Jesus say, go and do likewise. Maybe in today's world, Jesus would say, in a world where you can be anything, be a good Samaritan. Whatever wording you use, it's clear that Jesus defines neighbor for the religion scholar as he's speaking less about who is in need of the help and more about how we should respond to those in need. How is it that we choose to be a neighbor no matter who it is that we encounter? In all his wisdom, Jesus knew that we can identify within ourselves what it takes to be a good neighbor. And if we can do that, if we can see the need around us, we'll be more likely to instinctively offer help without first questioning if the person in front of us in need is worthy of our help, based on their external appearance or any perceived difference between them and us. So the religion scholar may have been looking for a loophole, a way around loving all in need, but Jesus gave him a love challenge instead, saying that there is no way to eternal life, which was the lawyer's original question, right? How do I get eternal life? Jesus says there's no way around it without first passing through unconditional love for all of humanity. Because God is love, and Jesus demonstrated that love. And so we as people of God and Jesus followers must take every opportunity to go and do the same. So then we circle back to the first two thoughts I shared with you. First, if you get the right answer to the wrong question, you still have the wrong answer. And the question isn't what do our church members want, but what do our neighbors need? For far too long, the institutionalized church has been looking for a loophole in sharing God's love with all. We've done so by asking the wrong questions. When pastors like myself and congregations only ask, what do our church members want? Then our focus turns inward. Our actions become self-serving to be sure that our members stay happy and comfortable, that our jobs stay secure, that the offering plate stays full. But the gospel that we're called to live and preach is countercultural. The gospel is supposed to challenge us to turn outward. It's supposed to make us uncomfortable as we struggle with issues of justice and inequality for all of our neighbors. And so my work as your pastor isn't a job to secure, but it's a call to serve. A call that often requires me to ask difficult questions over and over again until we get to the right questions so that it can lead us to the right answers that ultimately minister to our neighbors. There are no loopholes to reaching our community with God's love. We cannot pick and choose who we think is worthy to walk through our doors or have their photo on the picture board in the back or live in our city or our state or our country. We can't circumvent loving people by calling them things other than human beings with the goal of dehumanizing them to the point that we try to justify that somehow they're unworthy of God's love and our love. Any term that we use for fellow human beings that others them is the same as choosing to walk on the other side of the road like the people in Jesus' story did. That loophole, the one that labels people in any way but beloved, is not an option if we want to be God's people. Dear friends in Christ, it is imperative that we take seriously Jesus' command to go and do the same in our community and in our world right now. People are being robbed of their humanity every day in this world. And we need to choose to give them aid as the Samaritan did rather than pass by on the other side, leaving them to die of despair and hopelessness. This commitment to loving God and our neighbor as we do ourselves starts right here in this space, offering a wide welcome to all people, both inside and outside of our sanctuary. It's a commitment that requires us to continually ask if we are asking the right questions, or if we need to be reframing our curiosity so that it bends more towards inclusion and compassion. As Jesus concluded his story of the Good Samaritan, he asked the religion scholar another question. Now, which of these became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religion scholar responded. In that one question, Jesus teaches us that through our loving actions towards others, especially those most vulnerable, most in need, we become better neighbors. We become better humans. The actions that we take towards those in need teach our hearts to be